Runoff, a crime novel about election fraud, evokes a curious timelessness of classic detective fiction. A noir gem, says Mystery Scene Magazine. Find it in ebook or trade paperback wherever books are sold. In this podcast, it's read by author Mark Coggins. Learn more about Mark and his other novels at markcoggins.com. Chapter 16, A Burrito for Your Thoughts. Are you hungry? It seemed like a line from the Theater of the Absurd, but I realized I hadn't eaten anything except the creamsicle since morning. Yes, I admitted, and let cowboy boots lead me down 16th Street towards Valencia. We ducked into the door of a tanqueria. He dropped my notebook and all the crap from my pockets onto a formica round top near the window. You pay and I'll order, he said. Give me $20. I flipped open my wallet and gave him $20. I watched him go up to the counter and launch into some unintelligible Spanish. Then I peeled off my jacket and hung it on the back of the chair. The left elbow was grass-stained and torn, and the right shoulder seam had separated. Another entry in the Dragon Lady's expense report. I levered my ass into the chair and began sorting through the stuff on the table. I filed most of it back in my pockets by the time Cowboy Boots returned with a couple of frosty-looking bohemias. He handed me one and sat down in the chair across from me. He took a long drink from the bottle, then asked, "Missing anything?" "Yeah, unfortunately." He reached across the table as if he were taking something from behind my ear and produced a half-dollar-sized medal with a flourish. You don't often see St. Apollonia medals. I bet that wows him on the kids' party circuit. I held out my hand for the medal. Who are you, anyway? I asked. You really don't know? Somebody who had reason to know a lot about the saints, or used to. That's right. I pocketed the medal and put the bohemia to my damaged ear while I sized him up. He didn't look like a choir boy molester, but I suppose none of them did. He was in his mid-30s and had a handsome, regular-featured face. His hair was longish and feathery and probably required a good 15 minutes of blow-drying to achieve its perfect, shaggy symmetry. His eyes were dark and keen, and didn't seem to go with the rest of his features. Father Salais, huh? But then you were defrocked. He laughed. Is that what Ernesto told you? Yes, said it involved a sex scandal. He shook his head. I'll be charitable and say that Ernesto was misinformed. So tell me the real story. All right. But first tell me why you're carrying around a St. Apollonia medal. Are you Catholic? I looked at him for a long moment. I wanted to hear what he had to say about Ciudad Verde, but I hoped this wasn't going to turn into a fellowship for recovering Catholics. I'm not sure what I am. I guess I regard the medal as a good luck piece as much as anything. Why? What do you know about St. Apollonia? She's a martyr. She leapt into the fire after having her teeth broken by pincers rather than renounce Christ. She's the patron saint of dentists and tooth disease. That's right. Several years ago, I had some teeth knocked out in a fight. I had a partial plate for a while, but then I replaced it with implants. There's more to the story than that, but the whole experience was very unpleasant, and I'm not eager to go through it again. Carrying the medal is my way of warding off a reoccurrence. Salais managed to nod while taking a gulp of beer. Is that why you went to town on Diego? I drew in a deep breath and let it out. This guy must have been good in the confessional. Yeah, I was going to let it drop until he swung for my mouth. Then I was going to kill him. I took the bohemia away from my ear and took a long pull. How come you call them by their first names, Ernesto and Diego? Ernesto I went to school with, and I performed his marriage ceremony. Diego I confirmed. Of course, all that was before you got booted out of the church. No, before my mother decided to sell her bakery. I wasn't booted out of the church. I had an affair with a nun. It was never discovered, but we both decided to renounce our vows rather than continue the deception. Did you get married? The woman behind the counter called Salai's name. He got off his stool. No, he said. She met someone she liked better. He pointed at my side. Did you know you were bleeding? Salai's went to get the food while I pulled out my shirt tail and plastered my side with napkins I took from the dispenser. The tussle in the churchyard had reopened the knife wound I'd gotten from Wu's goon. Hope you like pork, said Salai's when he returned with two baskets containing the largest burritos I'd ever seen. It's the specialty here. I let my eating do the talking, wolfing down almost a third of the burrito before I said anything. It was delicious. Why did you get involved in the fight at the churchyard? I asked when I came up for air. When I saw Diego jump out of the car and head your way, I knew he wasn't coming to shake your hand. He's got a dishonorable discharge from the military and has a history of violence. I'm no longer a priest, but that doesn't mean I condone violence, especially violence done to someone who is an apparent ally. How'd you get the idea that I'm an ally? I don't know who you are. August Reardon, private investigator. Salai's dipped his head in acknowledgement. A private investigator who is clearly no friend to Ciudad Verde or their allies. Any enemy of theirs is a friend of yours? Something like that. Ortiz lied about you being defrocked. Did he lie about the situation with your mother's bakery? Salai's took a hefty bite out of the burrito and then hurried to wipe salsa from the corner of his mouth. He nodded as he chewed. If he told you the same thing Ciudad Verde has been telling everyone else, he did. It's true my mother wants to retire, and it's true she wants to sell the property to a developer. But that developer does not plan to build loft condominiums on this site. He's built them in the past, but not here. Why sell to a developer at all? Why not sell the business intact? You have any sense for the economics of a single store, family-owned bakery in 21st century San Francisco? It doesn't make money. At least not for 5 years it hasn't. Mama kept the store going for so long simply because she couldn't bear to let her employees go. On the other hand, building low-cost housing for seniors, while it won't make as much money as lofts, will certainly be good for the community and will also provide a safe and manageable place for my mother to live. I wasn't even at the halfway point with a burrito, but I couldn't eat any more. I pushed the plate aside. This isn't adding up, Salai's. Ortiz said his project was for low-cost housing, too. He didn't mention the senior angle, but I don't see how that could be objectionable to him. What's his real problem with your project? His real problem is that his developer, NHDC, isn't building it. Take a look at this. It's a letter my mother got from the real estate broker NHDC uses. I brought it to the protest in case I got a chance to talk to the media. He took a quartered sheet of paper from his back pocket and passed it over. I unfolded it. It was a photocopy of a letter on Nautilus Housing Development Corporation stationery. It came from a Mr. Ralph Wood, and the body of it read, "I am writing to remind you of NHDC's interest in your property. NHDC is a respected quality builder, and they have built nearly 80% of the affordable housing in the Mission. More importantly, NHDC is well connected to city government and neighborhood activist groups, and its projects are routinely approved with little delay. If your current buyer decides that the political climate has made their project untenable, NHDC stands ready to offer you fair market value for your property and can deliver the political juice necessary to make its alternative development a reality. best of luck with your original deal, but don't hesitate to call me if the approval process does not pan out." I passed it back to him. "Okay, I buy that they're playing politics to pressure your mother into selling, but why not cave? They say they're offering full market value for the property." "One, they're not. They're offering about $300,000 less. Two, they've nixed the senior aspect of the project because they said it will add too much to construction cost for each unit. And three, their claim to have built 80% of affordable housing in the Mission is way off the mark. They only have about 5 projects to their credit. That accounts for maybe a third of the affordable housing in the neighborhood." "Then why has Ciudad Verde hitched their wagon to them?" Salais rubbed his fingers together in the universal gesture for money. "They've donated significantly to Ciudad Verde and the politicians the organization backs. Like Mike Padilla." "Especially Mike Padilla." I took another pull on my beer and leaned back in my chair. Salais watched me carefully. "If I may ask, Mr. Reardon, why are you interested in the sale of my mother's bakery?" "To be honest, I'm not particularly, but I am interested in the Green Party and their mayoral candidate." I gave him a brief explanation of why I was hired, leaving out exactly who had employed me. Salais smiled. "I would have guessed someone associated with the Loudon or Chow campaign, but since I saw your China Free Press credential, I can dispense with the guesswork. Let me check back at the bakery. I think I might have something useful to you." Salais went over to a payphone in the corner and fed in a couple of quarters. He dialed a local number and talked briefly. When he came back, he said, "It'll just be about 15 minutes. In the meantime, maybe you can tell me why you became a lapsed Catholic. It's never too late to come back to the church." Coming from an ex-priest who had gotten it on with a nun, that was rich. I deflected the conversation to a discussion of the best burrito places in the Mission and noted down about 3 new places to try by the time Salais's delivery boy showed up. He was a beanpole of a kid with the white earphones of an iPod stuck in his ears, blaring away at about 200 decibels. He handed Salais a paper bag without a word and turned immediately to go out the door. "My sister's kid, Javier," said Salais. "Not very talkative, but he knows his AV equipment." Salais reached into the bag and pulled out 2 DVD discs and another iPod with a small screen. "Javier's been taping the demonstration for me. These DVDs have copies of some footage I think you'll find interesting. You can take them home to watch at your leisure, but we can use the iPod now to give you a little preview." Salais manipulated a wheel on the iPod and the little screen flickered to life. It showed the demonstration from an elevated viewpoint behind the protesters, most likely a second floor window of the bakery. I saw myself talking to Ortiz and then following him over to the churchyard. The camera stayed on the protesters, but then zoomed in to focus on a limo that pulled up beside the wagoneer. Nothing happened for several minutes. Then the cop and the Latina girl walked by. The back door of the limo swung open, and Diego, the kid with a backwards baseball cap, stepped out. He ducked his head back in to talk with someone, then went on his way to dry gulch me. The camera stayed on the limo, zooming even tighter for a shot inside. At first it was too dark to see anything, then the exposure compensated, and I saw a balding Anglo sitting on the bench seat, looking in the direction Diego had gone. Salais paused the picture. "That's Ralph Wood, the developer who sent my mom the letter." He released the pause, and the camera panned over to a red-headed woman in a black beret sitting beside him. "And that's Kathleen Wilmont," I almost shouted. Salais raised the iPod like it was a winning number. "Bingo, as we used to say at our parish fundraisers." You have been listening to Runoff, a book hard-boiled great James Crumley described as a smart, funny, spooky, often touching, always entertaining romp. Find it in ebook or trade paperback wherever books are sold. In this podcast, it's read by author Mark Coggins. Learn more about Mark and his other novels at markcoggins.com.